You all look familiar, so it's good to see you, and we appreciate your coming. The Bible says in Luke 4, verses 1 and 2, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days did he eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." I use this lesson to develop this passage, to introduce a lesson that I have spent quite a bit of time on. And I hope that you can help me with some of the things that I found out I don't know. The word wilderness actually means solitary or lonesome. It, of course, stands for a deserted place. It is my conviction after studying this lesson that all of us, unless we die suddenly an unnatural death, will come to a lonesome place in our life. That's what this lesson is about. When you come to the lonesome place in your life, what then? That's a place where only you and Jesus Christ are aware of. And to some, it is a lonesome place. I believe that's what the Bible was teaching. That's the Greek word eremos, for wilderness. And it's talking about that. And when I started this lesson, I thought I'd have trouble finding examples of people who'd gone through a lonesome place. But I got so many. I've got 10. No way I can preach on all that. I'd like to remind us of all of them if time would permit. I just mentioned Jesus here, and Jesus had a number of lonesome places in his life. The Bible says that when he went into the garden in Luke 22 to pray, that he was there by himself. He carried apostles to watch, but they could not stay awake. He woke them up twice, but he was still by himself. The Bible says that when he faced the cross, and I'd read it to you if I had the time to, because we need to read it. The Bible says that all the disciples, all the apostles, it was really, forsook him and fled. And so he picked up the cross with a mob cheering, soldiers pushing and beating him, no doubt. But he was by himself. And he carried it through the streets of Jerusalem and to the hill of Golgotha and was nailed alone on the cross. And at one point on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The answer to that is in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and following. "He made him to be sin who was no sin. Christ became sin for us, had to be separated from God, because sin cannot endure the presence of God. God cannot endure the presence of sin." And so he went through that lonesome place. When you think of the great apostle John, and you think of him, you'd think he was an apostle of love. He loved everybody. He loved the truth. If you love enough, you'll never be lonesome. No. No, that's not true. The Bible says in Revelation 1, 9 and 10, "I was in the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of the Word's sake. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Now, it wasn't an assembly because that island was deserted. He was by himself. And on this particular island, by himself, he received one of the greatest pieces of literature, in my opinion, that's ever been written. If you haven't made a study of the book of Revelation, you've missed a lot. But don't make a study of the book of Revelation until you've made a thorough study of the book of Acts. Anyway, it needs to be there. And the idea of the book of Revelation is that we are truly more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave his life for us. And so we recognize that John went through a lonesome place. What do you do when there's nobody there but you and Jesus? John found the answer. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. If you're somewhere and can't get to worship, be sure and join the Holy Spirit in worship to God privately, because it truly is the Lord's day. Then we turn to the great Apostle Paul. I thought of a lot of times in Paul's life when he was lonesome, when he was by himself. There's quite a number of them in the book of Acts and in his writings. I think of the one in Acts 13:14, where he was stoned and left for dead. And I think that must have been quite a lonesome experience. But I believe possibly the most lonesome experience of Paul is in 2 Timothy 4, beginning about verse 16. Paul says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me. I pray God that he lay not this sin to their charge." I've studied a lifetime knowing what he was trying to answer. I still don't know. There are several things it could be. But for some reason, Paul, who had preached now for 35 years, now a prisoner in Rome about AD 63 or 64, shortly before his death. And he said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me." Don't be afraid in life, and don't become alarmed when you look around and there's nobody there spiritually but you. I think as the Lord's church, we've come to a wilderness spot. Where is the faithful attenders of the Lord's church? I went to a singing Friday night, and my wife will get me right, and I'll tell it tonight if it's not right. There were 160 there Sunday morning. I know she won't answer me fast, but I think there were 50 there Wednesday night and 60 the other one. 150. Lots of people were there when the rest of their families wouldn't come with them. No doubt about it. It gets lonesome sometime attending worship services. You can't get the people you love oftentimes to come with you. And so when you come to the lonesome spot in your life, what are you going to do? And so we read about that. The Bible says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but the Lord was with me." The Lord was with me. And so he gave answer. Then we go back to Elijah. And if I had time, I'd read you a lot of this, but I'm trying to preach a 3-hour sermon in 30 minutes. Elijah was a loner. He was a man of God, but he was a loner. And the Bible says that he was a loner because he alone stood for the truth among a religious nation that had lost its way. Truly. The king and queen were as evil as any one could be. They had actually got themselves 800 priests to Baal and were keeping them up. The king and queen of God's nation. And God sent Elijah. You know, he sent a lot of things to get Ahab's attention. And he said, "Bring all these priests together to Mount Carmel. And let's decide, how long will you run between the two opinions? I don't know how long it's going to take members of the Lord's church to recognize that the plan of salvation is set. That the plan of worship is set. That the model of faithfulness is set. That the organization of the church is set. That the character of hell is set. That the character of heaven is set. And we can do nothing about that but live faithfully to God. That's all we can do." And so here we find, as we begin to study about this, was Elijah. And you know the test. They poured the water. And of course you know what happened. You know that the water came down and lapped up Elijah's offering. And the prophets of Baal, one time it mentions 800, I mean 450, but that's still a great crew, all of them. They cried out and cut themselves from morning to noon, and nothing happened. And then Elijah got the people to kill all of them. He was still lonely. He was alone. Looks like somebody would have taken him in and said, "Elijah, come here, I want to feed you. I want to do something for you." But Jezebel sent him word and said, "You've killed all my prophets. God, do so and more to me if you're not dead very soon." And so he took off running. He ran to a cave, and he was standing there in the mouth of that cave. And the Bible says there was a whirlwind went by, and a voice spake to Elijah and said, "What dost thou here, Elijah? What do you do when there's nobody left but you?" He gives us a great example exactly what to do. He said, "Elijah, first of all, you need to recognize that it's not all hopeless. I've got 7,000 knees in Baal in Jerusalem that have not bowed their knee to Baal." Jerusalem had over 100,000 people at that time. 7,000 of them had never bowed the knees to Baal. Look at the population of the world. How many among the population of the world have never bowed their knees to a false religion? And so he said, "I got a plan here. You go and you appoint Hazael king of Syria. You hold Jehu king over Israel. And you appoint Elisha in your stead as prophet." And so then the Bible says he went about doing that. And then the Bible says that Elisha becomes alarmed. He's following Elijah, and he says, "I know that God's going to take Elijah." And they pass and come to the Jordan, and Elijah takes his mantle and slaps the Jordan, and it dries up, and they walk through. And they walk to Mount Carmel. You know the story. And the Bible says a whirlwind comes, and it takes, there's chariot there too, but it doesn't say he went in the chariot. Whirlwind comes and takes Elijah to heaven. What do you do when you're the only one? You get ready for heaven. You get ready to leave. And the Bible says that Elisha looks around, Elijah's gone. He picks up Elisha's mantle, his cloak, Elijah's mantle, and he heads back home. He comes to the Jordan River, and he takes that coat and he slaps that river and he says, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And the river dries up and he walks across. Elisha has gone on to heaven. Now I think it's noteworthy to recognize in Isaiah 40 and verse 3, God said that he'd send one in the power and presence and might of Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord would come, talking about the day of Jesus Christ. Matthew 3 and Luke 4 all record this, that the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight his paths, prepare ye the way of the Lord." Did you ever think, I think about how we try to build the church with our schemes and how we don't ever study how God wants the church built. And today it's not the way that God started it, but it's still many of the same characteristics. And so he sent John to prepare the way of the Lord. John was an unsocial fellow. He didn't dress like I do. I try to dress acceptably. He didn't worry about his dress. He had a coat, leathern girdle on. He didn't worry about whether or not you thought he was eating the right kind of diet. The federal government wouldn't told him what to eat. He ate locusts and wild honey. He didn't worry about visiting people to get them to come. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And out they went. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the country were baptized of John in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, you don't confess your sins in the New Testament. They weren't under the New Testament at that time. And so they confessed their sins there and were baptized of John. He didn't talk to them kindly. The Bible says when he saw the tumult, and I wish the church, I don't mean you ought to be unkind, I just think you ought to be straight. When he saw the Sadducees and Pharisees come to his baptism, He said, friends, you good religious leaders, it's good to see you here. Not exactly what he said. He said, oh, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath which is to come? I wish the church could hear that. I don't mean to be bitter about anything. I just mean I think we need to have a little boldness for the truth. That's what I believe. And so there he was. And in a sense, he was by himself. His father was a priest. But John was by himself, preaching in the wilderness. God had a reason for him. He knew that he wasn't going to be long for this earth because he had a reason for him. And when he filled that reason, he would be called home. The Bible says that he was put in prison by Herod. And the Bible says he had told Herod, you've taken your brother Philip's wife. It is not lawful for you to have her. When a preacher preaches the truth about marriage and divorce or about homosexuals in our time, he is in trouble. Deep trouble. And so he preached that. And the Bible said Herod put him in prison. And Herodias, of course, would have killed him, but she couldn't do it. And so when her daughter danced before her husband, the illicit husband, the Bible says he said to that young lady, I'll give you even half of my kingdom. He gave anything but his life for the right purpose. And the Bible says she went and asked her mother, and her mother said, I want John the Baptist's head on a charger, a plate. I want it on a plate. That's like she wouldn't have said it that way, but bloodthirsty she was. You can understand that. And the Bible said John sent, Herod sent, and beheaded John in the prison. And brought John's head on a plate and gave it to Salome. And she carried it to her mother. Brethren, John was in a place where he found no solace. He found no friend. He found no one that he could relate to. The kingdom had not yet been established except Jesus. And God took him home. Lonesome. In the wilderness, as the Bible says. Well, we turn again and we read about Jesus. We read about it in the beginning here that he was led up in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was the most social person in all the world. He came eating and drinking, tending and trying to influence people. He was very social. But he was also the most lonesome person on all the earth. Now you think about that, and you probably won't argue about that. But Jesus found no friends among the religious people of his time. The Pharisees and the Sadducees hated him and led his death, killing him. It was a Sadducee priest that said, he is worthy of death. What need we of any further witnesses? It was the Pharisees that opposed him heavily all his preaching days. He did not. He found no friends that he fit in with in his hometown. You know, it's something when you go to your hometown and you don't fit in. I quit attending school reunions. Didn't go but the one. And I went to school with good people and I loved a lot of them. But I went over to, I better not tell you where it was. It really wasn't a drunk place, but that's what it wound up being. Bluegrass Country Club, to a family reunion. And I saw so many of my friends drinking and doing things that I thought were ungodly. And I said, Lord, let me live to get out of here. It'll never happen again. It'll never happen again. I have friends that call me, and I was close to the 24 people I graduated from at Hendersonville. Can you imagine that? I'll go back that old. They graduated 600 last year. That's 24 when I graduated. Anyway, I was very close to all of them. Very good friends. brethren, I was a loner. I was a loner when I took my stand at that drinking party. You'll be a loner, teenager, if you take a stand against it. All you got to do is take a stand against drinking and drugs, and you won't have any friends if you're not careful. The Bible says it is a lonesome time when you lose your friends. And so there it was, Jesus. And Jesus was a loner when it come to facing the cross. He was a loner. He bore his cross alone. And when he died, he was so much a non-part of this earth, no one claimed his body. I've often wondered about that. He had Mary, I don't know where she was at that time. I'm sure she couldn't. He had half-brothers, sisters. But the Bible says one disciple who was secret came and begged his body of Pilate and carried him out and buried him in his own burial place. He had no place to be buried. His body wasn't prepared for burial like you and I. We wouldn't dare send us. I told my wife, when I die, if it's a pine box, don't worry about it. I'll just dress up a pine. I really feel like that. And I know you think he's crazy. I think funerals are a money-making scheme. Now, you won't know what I think. But anyway, they didn't have. So they buried him there and didn't prepare his body. But there was some kind women. And early on the first day of the week, they came to Gethsemane bearing spices. And they went to the tomb. And the Bible says when they got there, he wasn't there. Wonderful thing happened there. I don't know where the apostles all were. They had forsook and fled and hadn't got back together at this time. But the Bible says that he came out of the grave and appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. That's a great, great statement that when God forgives, you obey him, he forgives. And so there he was, the first man that saw him after he was resurrected. He was a loner. And if you followed the book of Acts, you recognize that he was not on a loner while on this earth, but he was a loner as he went through, as his disciples went through the book of Acts. The Bible says in John 6:66, from that time many of his disciples left him and walked no more with him. So much so that Jesus turned to the apostles, John 6:66, and said, wilt thou also go astray? Are you going to leave too? I sometimes think I get up on Sunday morning and say, any of y'all leaving this week? Who's going to leave the church next? I just say that to try to make people think. I'm not trying to run anybody off. Trying to get everybody I can in. But I think we have to face reality. Who's going to... Would it be your son or my son? Would it be your daughter? Would it be your mother or father? Who's going to leave next? Well, maybe not so. Maybe they'll come in the other way. The Bible says in Acts 5:11, Peter stood up and got his courage back by now. And he said, the stone which the builders rejected, that's Jesus, hath become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What do you do when you're by yourself? You preach the truth. Peter didn't learn to preach the truth till he learned to have to stand by himself. Not like it ought to be. The Bible says in Acts 5:28 that they caught the apostles, and this time they said, did not we straitly command thee to speak no more in the name of Jesus? I've loved Acts 5:29 a long time. Whether it be right in the sight of God to obey you more than God, judge ye, but we cannot but speak the things which we have heard. You can find some courage when you really get alone. Jesus found courage in Gethsemane, praying by himself. Paul found courage in a prison. In a prison, praying by himself. Jeremiah found courage. I may tell you about that. I won't cover that any time this morning. In a prison. And they laid him down in that prison and he sunk down into the mire to his armpits. Sometimes say, was he a weeping prophet because of that? No, he cried his eyes out because Jerusalem was destroyed and gone to the devil. That's what caused him to weep. And so the Bible says, as we go through, there it was, that Jesus was lonesome and solitary. Now, what about, what do we talk about lonesome times in your life? Well, I just mentioned a few of them. When you're in a group of people who don't believe the New Testament, and don't believe the plan of salvation, and don't believe truth and worship and how to worship, don't believe in the one church, and don't believe in heaven, and don't believe in hell, when you talk about anything to the news, to what's happening on TV, you're going to find yourself in a corner pretty soon. I was kind of pleased with my wife this morning. Hope you don't mind telling me. We were in our Sunday morning place eating breakfast, and we met these real fine people. They were really fine people. And they wanted us to buy two $8 tickets. The only problem was it was to a group that had a religious name on it. I'm not about to say which. And it was for helping the needy. I did explain to them that we had needy and we helped them all the time. But I cannot, and I know you may say I ain't going to have nothing to do here, but you go ahead. I cannot support those who wear religious names and era out of my conscience. I'm not throwing rocks. I'm not trying to kill. I'm just saying I don't do it, period. My wife answered that real well. She handled that like a diplomat, much better than I could have. And I was real proud of her. But, you get in a corner. I was just eating breakfast at McDonald's with a fine couple right in front of us and carrying on a conversation. If you hadn't been in a lonesome corner lately, you're not saying much about Jesus. If you hadn't been in a lonesome place in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you're not living the life you ought to live before your friends that are lost. There's something the matter. You ought to take a look. What do you do when you're lonesome? And of course, indifference. When you're among the indifference of your brethren. And I wanted so badly to say something the other night singing, but the preacher got up, he'd been sick. And he extended a marvelous invitation. Sure did. Best I'd heard in a long time. And the singing, in my opinion, was excellent. And I thought, here is a congregation that's got good preaching and good singing and poor Christian living. There must be some lonesome people here. They almost have to be. That's what I thought as I prepared this lesson. Then, of course, when you're on your sick bed, oh, it gets lonesome. By the way, Sister Long is in hospital having had some serious heart trouble. You need to pray for her. She's in Vanderbilt. She may get to come home pretty soon, but we think maybe she might be a little better. But if you want to see where your friends are, get sick and take a sick bed for 6 weeks. You'll be looking at the wall by yourself a whole lot. I know we've got all we can do and more. I know we're rushed to pieces. I understand all that. But the Bible says, I was sick and you visited me not. If you hadn't heard that, I'll repeat it again. I was sick and you visited me not. Brethren, are you going to face judgment with a habit of never visiting the sick? And I say that as plainly as I know how to say it, and as truthfully, because it is the truth. Take a sick bed and you'll be lonely. And then again, death. You know, I wish I could tell you about death. I can't because I hadn't faced it myself yet. But I can tell you about the death of a mother. I faced that. It's a lonely time. I don't believe any, even my family understood it. I understood it. Maybe that wasn't true. The death of my father, it's a lonely time. Friends were a lot of help. But there's still a place in your life that's totally by yourself that you're bearing that. When you bear your children, there's no greater challenge in all of life, in my opinion. I hadn't buried my wife yet. She hadn't buried me. I don't know which one is going to do what. But I know people who have gone through that lonely time. Some of them were my best friends, and still are. It has to be one of the most lonesome things in all the world. And so I think the question is, what do? When you are in that spot. I asked this boy sitting here. He's a boy, we don't do right. To sing a song. And he forgot it. I'm going to read it to you. If Jesus, it may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. It may be I must carry the blessed word of life across the burning deserts to those in sinful strife. And though it be my lot to bear my colors there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. But if it be my portion to bear my cross at home, while others bear their burdens beyond the billows foam, I'll prove my faith in Him, confess my judgments fair, and if He stays with me, I'll go anywhere. It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. That's a big statement right there. It is but mine to follow the leadings of His word. But if I go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior. Content anywhere. Boy, that's as true as anything in the world could be. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, that their spirits rest and their works do follow them. What a joy to know that I don't have to cross Jordan alone. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, that comfort me. I wonder if you can say, no matter what happens in this life, Jesus will be with me. If you will obey the gospel, and follow the Great Commission. That promise is exceedingly true. Go into all the world and preach, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now notice, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. If Jesus is not with you, there are some places you don't need to try to travel alone. We hope that you'll obey the gospel if you need to, while together we stand and while we sing.